Hello, thank you for tuning in. You are listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit biteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest is Catherine Kerrigan, and we will be talking about her new book, The Little Book of Breathwork. Catherine is a medical intuitive healer, an Amazon number one best-selling author, and host of the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. In her 26 years working full-time in natural healing, she has worked with clients all over the world to empower them to heal themselves naturally without drugs. You can find Catherine on her website at www.catherinekerrigan.com, and that's Catherine with a C, and also at www.unlimitedenergynow.com. Catherine is also author of an online course, 8 Minutes to Inner Peace, which teaches 8 simple breathing exercises to shift a person into a state of complete calm within 8 minutes. You can sign up for the online course at www.8minutestoinnerpeace.com. And with that, I'd like to welcome Catherine to the show. Good day, Catherine.
Hello, Robert, and hello, everybody out there, and thank you so much for listening. And my goal in this show is to give you hope and healing and to teach you really a whole new paradigm of thinking about how to be healthy and how to be healthy naturally without drugs.
That's so good. Boy, you know, we have unfortunately become a prescription drug society, and we really need to get away from that and do more natural approaches to healing. So first, let's start with, you know, I usually like to start with why the author kind of wrote the book they did. So what inspired you to write this book?
Well, first of all, Robert and everybody out there, you know, I have 26 years full-time experience in natural healing. I am a master healer. And most of the time when we think about healing, we think we've got to go to somebody. You've got to go to the doctor or a therapist or a physical therapist or your naturopath or, you know, some other person outside of yourself. And although it is true that all of these people, including myself as a medical intuitive healer, can really help you, I wrote this book because I wanted to give people tools that you can do anytime, anywhere to help yourself feel better naturally. That was so important to me. And I know all this real cool stuff. And there's also some really wonderful remedies, natural healing-wise. I use lots of herbs and supplements and flower essences and homeopathy. And all that is good and wonderful. But not everyone has money to go to a practitioner such as myself, or the knowledge about how to select the right natural healing remedies for yourself. But sometimes the only tools that you have at your disposal are your mind, your body, and your breath. And I really wanted to give people tools so that you can shift your whole vibration, get out of pain and suffering naturally without drugs. And that's what I've done with my book, The Little Book of Breathwork, which I'm really happy. It was just went to number one on Amazon. It's my 7th Amazon number one best-selling book.
Well, congratulations. That's quite an accomplishment. And it's wonderful to be able to provide the everyday person with the ability to do the work. Not only is it sometimes hard to find a practitioner that can help, but in many cases people are in communities where, you know, they just might not have that resource available. So a book is a great way to do that. So what, you know, this is the Little Book of Breathwork. So can you explain to the listeners what breath work is. Now, everybody knows how to breathe. Everybody's been breathing. But what is breath work?
So although you may have been breathing your whole life, you may never have experienced specific breathing exercises. And there's specific breathing exercises that you can do anytime, anywhere to lower depression, to decrease your anxiety, to eliminate high blood pressure, to cope with insomnia, sleep apnea, and asthma. I actually had asthma, and that was how I actually got into all this natural healing a long time ago. So there's all these breathing exercises that you can learn how to do that shift your whole vibration, and even if you're a healthy person, can shift you into a state of bliss so that you can be very, very happy and at peace and really uplift everybody around you.
Okay, so now what, obviously, the people listening feel that, they've made it so far with their breathing, but can you give us an example or tell us what would be proper breathing, or, what would be an example of how can we tell if we're breathing properly to our best, to maximize that kind of effort?
Okay. Well, if you're out there listening, there's a very simple thing that you can do to tell how well you're breathing. And that is this. If you breathe into your belly, you're accessing the parasympathetic nervous system. Now, what do I mean by that? Okay, so let's look at this big picture. So big picture, we live in a very stressful time in history, okay? I don't need to explain that to you. If you're listening, you already understand that. And when we get stuck in the feeling of stress, that affects your health on every level. That literally is the primary cause of dis-ease. Now, when you are stuck in the sympathetic nervous system, which is the part of your nervous system that creates your stress hormones, your cortisol and your adrenaline, you're breathing primarily into your upper chest. But when you're breathing all the way down into your belly, you're accessing the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the part of your nervous system that allows you to relax. And when you're relaxing, you're no longer producing the stress hormones that make you fat around your belly. So if you have excess fat around your belly button, by definition, your body holds fat in certain areas in your body based on hormonal imbalances. And when you hold extra fat in your belly, that's a cortisol imbalance, and you're producing too many stress hormones. So if you can breathe all the way fully into your belly, then your nervous system is balanced. You're not producing the stress hormones that break down your bones, that lower your metabolic rate, that cause hardening of the arteries and embolia, any other of 100 other diseases. And in my book, I talk about how you, and I do mean you, need to learn how to breathe, because although intellectually we probably know, you probably know that you could be healthier if you weren't so stressed, but most of us do not realize the great degree to which your illnesses are actually caused by your inability to breathe and you're being stuck in this very highly stressed state. And, in our society, I believe I published 9 books. And two of my books are actually about how to get out of depression naturally. And I believe at this point, over 10% of U.S. adults are on some form of depression medication or psychiatric medication. So there's a lot of people in our society who realize that we need help. And we often turn to pharmaceutical drugs. And by the way, if you're listening, I don't have any judgment about this. What I'm doing is I'm teaching you additional ways so that you can feel better naturally. And many people are shocked to see how quickly, if they do specific breathing exercises, use affirmations, and also hold hand mudras, which I teach in the book, which are basically just little gestures that you can do with your hands that change the flow of energy in your acupuncture system, people are shocked to see how quickly they can make a difference in the way they feel both mentally and physically.
Wow. I had never heard of hand mudras. So can you maybe describe an example of what one would be?
Absolutely. Well, if you've ever been to any kind of religious organization like a church, you've definitely used a hand mudra. So, for example, if you bring your hands into prayer position at your heart, that is called Anjali Mudra, A-N-J-A-L-I Mudra, and it accesses the frequency of divinity. And in my book, The Little Book of Breathwork, I teach 16 different mudras that activate different frequencies. So what do I mean by frequencies? They're energy. So another mudra that a lot of people may have seen, like if you've gone to a yoga class, you will see people with their thumb and their pointer finger together. Well, that is chin mudra, okay? And that helps you to it's a mudra that you can do for integration to help you to basically process the information that you have received. And then there's another mudra that a lot of people have seen where you have your thumb and finger together and turn the palm down, and that's called Jnana mudra, which is knowledge. So at any rate, there are these different little hand gestures that you can use, and they're a part of yoga. I've taught yoga for 24 different years, 16 hand mudras in my book. And simply by changing the position of your hands, you activate different acupuncture meridians. So the acupuncture meridians in your body either begin or end in your hands or feet. And you can definitely visit an acupuncturist. Acupuncture is wonderful, or you can do acupressure on yourself. Or you can hold these mudras. And by holding the mudras and changing the position of your hands, you are changing the way that the acupuncture energy flows in your body. And there's a lot of wonderful mudras that you can do that help you to feel much better naturally. And again, this book is about teaching you things that you can do that don't cost any money and that you can do anytime, anywhere.
Yeah, that's a great tool. Now, if we are not doing that breathing down to the gut, is this one of those cases where that maybe set aside time every day to do breath work, or is it one of those cases where you're going to ideally have that deep breathing be your natural tendency? What I'm trying to get at is this something that that is just a practice to be used, like on a daily basis, versus
wonderful,
do we want to kind of shift
question.
Toward? Yeah, okay.
Wonderful question, Robert Sharp. Okay, so first of all, in my book, I talk about how there's a lot of ways to use this book. So I teach a specific breathing routine that I call 8 minutes to inner peace. It only takes 8 minutes. And I developed it originally because I had a client who had severely high blood pressure to the point where his kidneys had failed. He was already on three different medications for high blood pressure. It didn't work, and his kidneys had failed. So I knew that he wasn't breathing properly, and I wanted to give him a tool that would begin to shift and change the whole problem. He would have to get up every morning at 4 a.m. and drive to a kidney dialysis center, and he was only in his mid-30s. And because he was so sick, he wasn't able to work, and he had a wife and two kids. So we're talking about real people, real problems. Now, to answer your question, in the book, The Little Book of Breathwork, I teach you a routine that you can do either at the beginning of the day or the end of the day. But I'm going to tell you a very powerful story that if I hadn't seen it myself, I'm not sure I would have even believed it. But years ago, I had a yoga student, and I explained to the class, my yoga class, how when you don't breathe properly, that affects your metabolism. Now, let's talk about the big picture. You may think, well, how does breathing affect my body weight? All right, well, when your stress hormone cortisol is out of control, again, you lay down belly fat around your belly button, and it can be a primary cause leading to insulin resistance. Okay, so if you're very, very stressed for a very long time, it literally changes the way that your body metabolizes sugar. And when we do this balanced breathing, when we breathe in such a way that balances our nervous system and we get out of stress, that turns off the stress hormones that, again, change the way your body metabolizes, right? And anyway, long story short, I explained how to do basic yoga breathing, which is just what I call ocean breath, where you're making the deep sound of the ocean in the back of your throat. You're breathing all the way into your belly, you know, what I call three-part breathing, where you're breathing into the belly, all the way expanding your lungs, and, you know, into the ribs as well. Well, my yoga student listened to me very carefully because she was trying to lose weight, and literally all she did, the only exercise she got, she came to my yoga class once a week, but she made an effort to do yoga breathing all day long. And by simply focusing on doing deep, even breathing all day long, she lost 22 pounds over a course of about 3 months. So very often we're not aware of how much your breathing patterns affect your health. So let me give you another example. So when you're basically locked into this chronic state of stress, there's increased circulation to your brain and the muscles of your head, providing a heightened awareness of an emergency situation. And that can cause headaches, even migraines, and possible links to even depression, dementia, and strokes. Now, the other thing that happens when you're in chronic stress by, you know, not breathing all the way is that your pupils dilate for sharper vision. And over time, that can lead to sore, tired eyes and reduced vision. The other thing that happens is that your jaws tighten up, okay, possibly leading to TMJ, grinding in your teeth, eating disorders, and also oral fixations. And the pituitary gland in your brain receives emotional messages from the emotional centers of your brain. And the latest scientific research about depression and anxiety is that depression and anxiety are a dysregulation of what the doctors call the HPA axis, your hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis. So there is a breath work technique that I teach in this book, alternate nostril breathing. And when you do alternate nostril breathing, it balances the two sides of your brain, right and left hemisphere, and also activates an active pressure point that tells the pituitary gland that you are now safe and turns off the stress hormones. So, again, these are very simple exercises. They're free. You can do them at 2 a.m. when your best friend doesn't want to talk to you. And you can change your entire mind and body naturally for very profound shifts in your whole rate of being.
Wow.
And I could go on explaining about how your health.
No, that's great. I'm loving the connection to, you know, because I don't think people recognize that there can, you know, just by proper breathing that you can really alter your metabolism. I just don't think many people make that connection and realize that this is something that they have, you know, at their immediate disposal. You were talking about stress, you know, and how it can relieve that. Now, when someone has a panic attack, would it be the same kind of process in altering the chemistry?
Yes, and that is a great question, because in my book, The Little Book of Breathwork, I recommend specific breathing exercises for different, you know, basically mental and emotional and physical conditions, okay? And one of the simplest, fastest ways to stop a panic attack is what's called alternate nostril breathing. So for our listeners, I'm going to explain how to do alternate nostril breathing. But first, I'll tell you a story. This is a really good story. So years ago, one of my yoga students went to the bank, and she happened to be the manager of her little family farm. So she was the manager, and she had to account for everything to all of her relatives, who all had their noses in the business and were constantly giving her a hard time and telling her what to do. So she shows up at the bank, and the bank had made a mistake, an error, and it showed there was no money in the bank account. Now, even though she realized that this was an error, she started to go into a panic attack, right? And if you've ever had a panic attack, it's really, really uncomfortable. Your heart rate increases. You may start to hyperventilate. And when you're hyperventilating for rapid short-term energy, again, your body is producing loads and loads of cortisol. You get over-adrenalized. You may start shaking. One side of your brain shuts down, so you're not able to think clearly, right? So even though you may be a highly educated, highly intelligent person, when you're having a panic attack, you can't think clearly, right? Because you're only using half your brain, if that. However, she had been a long-term yoga student of mine, and she remembered that I talked about alternate nostril breathing. So there she was in the bank having a panic attack. She realized she's having a panic attack, and she started to do alternate nostril breathing, and she stopped her own panic attack. She didn't have to take a Xanax. She didn't have to go to a therapist. Right on the spot, she was able to shift the way that she felt and then deal with the situation appropriately. So how do you do alternate nostril breathing? So I'm going to tell you that right now. So you've got two hands. So if you're following along and listening, so with your left hand, I want you to bring your thumb and your first two fingers together. So that's your thumb, your pointer finger, and your middle finger. Now, let me explain, first of all, how important that is. When you bring your thumb and your pointer finger together, that shifts the energy in your lungs. And simply by bringing your thumb and your pointer finger together, you're going to notice that your breath drops down towards your ribs. And then when you bring your thumb, your pointer finger, and your middle finger together, your breath drops into your belly. And as I explained, when you're breathing into your belly, now you're in the parasympathetic nervous system, where you can relax, where you stop the production of all those nasty stress hormones that make your hair fall out, make you get wrinkles and, you know, look worn out, right? And that exhausts you. So with your left hand, you're going to bring your thumb, pointer finger, and your middle finger together. Now with your right hand, I want you to spread your fingers and then fold the pointer finger and the middle finger towards the palm of your hand. So if you do that, if you fold the pointer finger and the middle finger towards the palm of your hand, your thumb will be up and your ring finger will be up. Okay? Now, relax your left hand in your lap. Now, I want you to take a deep breath in, inhale. And then with your thumb, close your right nostril and then exhale through the left nostril. Now, I want you to inhale through the left nostril. Your ring finger will now close the left nostril and exhale through the right. Inhale through the right nostril. Close the right nostril. Exhale through the left. Inhale through the left. Close the left and exhale through the right. And continue. And the instructions are in the little book of breath work. Also, if you want to watch videos on how to do this, if you go to one of my two websites, Unlimited Energy Now, if you go to Unlimited Energy Now, and then actually go to, on the top, you'll see a bar called Fitness. Scroll down to Exercise Library, and then scroll down to 8 minutes to Inner Peace, Breathing Exercises. There's a video that you can follow demonstrating alternate nostril breathing. Or you can find me on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and look up Kathryn Carrigan, C-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E, last name C-A-R-R-I-G-A-N, you can learn alternate nostril breathing. And when you're doing the nostril breathe, alternate nostril breathing, you're gently pressing on an acupuncture point on the side of the nose that stimulates the pituitary gland. And as I mentioned, your pituitary gland governs your thyroid and your adrenals. So it, when you balance your pituitary gland, you're rebalancing your metabolic rate, you're turning off your stress hormones, and you're bringing balance into your entire hormonal system. So although this information is quite simple, the effects on your mind, body, and spirit are quite profound. And if you do alternate nostril breathing for, let's say, just 2 minutes, you'll notice that you'll be able to stop a panic attack.
Wow, that's great. You know, because like you say, when you're in the midst of one, it's hard to think rationally, you know, and you really, one needs to really calm down during time like that. So now, you know, and when you were talking about putting the thumb and the pointer and middle finger together, whenever you see, like on TV or in media, people meditating, a lot of times you'll see people holding their hands like that. Is that the reason people
right.
do that during meditation?
So many people who meditate hold mudras. And I want to go back to something we were talking about a moment ago, because just like you exercise to be fit, you want to learn breathing exercises before you have a panic attack. In other words, you want to learn how mm-hmm. to do this so that when you go through a stressful period in your life, when you lose a loved one, when you go through a divorce, when you're taking a stressful test in school, that you know what to do. Does that make sense? And so
oh, yeah.
just like mm-hmm. we take care of our health to prepare, you want to learn all this information now, you know, while you're in an empowered state, so that you can deal with the challenges in life as they arise. But yes, you will see meditators who are using mudras, and usually most meditators, if you look at photos, they just have their thumb and pointer finger together. But again, if you mm-hmm. only bring your thumb and pointer finger together, the breath is only going to come down to your ribs. But when you bring your thumb and first two fingers together, it's going to drop into your belly where you go parasympathetic. Now, and you bring up meditation, and I want to make an important connection between meditation and breath work, and that is this. Many people, myself included, are so mentally active. We have so many thoughts going on in our head that many people have a really hard time turning off their brain so that they can meditate, right? So we know, gosh, mm-hmm. It really would be a good idea to meditate, but it's hard to get to this point where your mind is quiet enough in order to do that. But what you will find is if you do a breath work routine, like 8 minutes to inner peace that I teach in the little book of breath work, your mind will just naturally slide into this quiet, peaceful state, and it will be easy for you to meditate. So rather than just sitting there or lying there, however you meditate, and struggling with all the thoughts and all the worries that you have going on, if you prepare for meditation by doing breath work, you will find it much easier you will find it so much easier to get into this peaceful state.
Yeah, that monkey mind or that chatter in the brain can be really difficult for some people to turn off. And if proper breath work assists in that, that's a great tool to incorporate into meditation. Catherine, we're already halfway through the show, so I want to take just a quick break. And I do want to invite listeners, if you would like to call in with any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to type them in there. And then when we come back from the break, I understand that there are 10 principles of enlightened breathwork, so maybe we can talk a little bit about those when we come back, okay? Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, BiteRadio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,400 shows we have had over the past 9 years. Also on the site is a link to the products and services we provide: books, photography, a wellness store, and self-publishing assistance. Our show is a free podcast on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can subscribe for free on any of those platforms by using the links on our website homepage. We are on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc. And we also have buttons to those platforms at the top of our homepage. Our website, BiteRadio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show. Okay, everyone. Thank you for staying with us again today. My special guest is Catherine Kerrigan, and we are talking about her new book, A Little Book of Breathwork. And again, you can find out more about Catherine by visiting her websites. One is CatherineKerrigan.com, and that's CatherineKerrigan.com. And you can also visit UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. And also, Catherine had mentioned the 8 Minute to Inner Peace, and you can find out more about that by visiting the website 8 Minutes to Inner Peace, and that's the number 8. MinutesToInnerPeace.com. Okay, with that, we're back, Catherine.
Hello, hello, and thanks everybody listening. And remember that breathing exercises are the simplest form of natural healing.
Yeah, it's free, and we can do it as much as you want, and it has wonderful healing effects. So, as I mentioned before the break, I believe you indicate in the book that there are 10 principles of enlightened breathwork. Can you share a bit about those principles?
Yes. Well, again, most of us, when we breathe, we don't even think about it, right? But as you become aware of how you breathe and the quality of your breath affects the quality of your entire existence, you can bring more conscious awareness. So here are the 10 principles for transformational breath work. The first is, of course, inhale. But when you inhale, you want to think about, what am I inhaling? I'm inhaling hope, joy, peace, prosperity, abundance, possibility, wisdom, oxygen, energy. Second is exhale. When you exhale, what are you exhaling? Stress, tension, the past, resentment, anger, negativity. The third principle is breathing in a circle. And one of the simplest ways that you can feel happy is by breathing in a circle. What do I mean by that? If you pay attention to your breath, you'll inhale, and then there's a natural pause at the end of your inhale, and then you exhale, and then there's a natural pause at the end of your exhale. Simply by making an equal length between your inhale and exhale, again, you balance your nervous system, and you shift your being, your whole mind, body, spirit, into this state of happiness and bliss. So just notice yourself breathing in a circle and consciously make the inhale and exhale equally long. The fourth principle is to relax. So, of course, you want to relax your lungs. And what happens to a lot of us, we've been so stressed for so long that the intercostal muscles, which are the muscles in between your ribs, literally become frozen. And when we do practices like yoga, like Tai Chi, like Qigong, even walking in nature, we can begin to relax our muscles. So by relaxing your muscles, it allows your diaphragm, your main dome-shaped muscle that you help to breathe, in order to work better. Now, the fifth principle is to energize. So as we breathe, you actually have more energy. So you're literally increasing the circulation of oxygen through your whole being, and that's bringing energy to your brain, to your muscles, into your blood system. So, again, a lot of us, when we want more energy, we eat sugar, we drink caffeine, and all those things can give you a short burst of energy. They also lead to a crash afterwards. And many of us have things that we have to do that require energy. So if you're a mother and your baby's crying at 2 a.m., you've got to get up there. There's no pause button on a baby who's crying. And a lot of us have very important jobs. I remember one time teaching these breathing exercises actually to a police officer in my neighborhood. If they're chasing down a criminal, they have to deal with what they have to deal with. They can't stop in that moment, but they can use conscious breath work. The sixth principle is to awaken your awareness. And as we breathe, we become more conscious and more aware of everything around us. You connect to the way you really feel. A lot of us have been drugging ourselves in order to anesthetize the way that we feel. The seventh principle is to discover yourself. So when you're doing this conscious breathing, you literally create a better connection between your mind, body, and spirit. And when you have this really good mind-body connection, that's when you find yourself being more intuitive. I'm a professional medical intuitive healer. I do this for a living. You have the word intuitive means in tune. And the first person that you have to be in tune with is yourself. And breath work helps you to discover yourself. Now, the eighth principle, and I'm going to take a little bit of time to talk about this one, is very important, and it's containing your experience. So I feel that the reason that we are in a country, in a world of drug addicts, legal addicts, drug addicts, and I'm talking prescription drugs, marijuana, cocaine, cigarettes, alcohol, and so on, is that a lot of us dread feeling how we really feel. So this fear of what's really going on with our emotions and how we feel about ourselves and how do we feel about our lives that we're trying to run away from or anesthetize. When you run away from it or anesthetize it, it's still there. And there's a lot of pent-up energy that leads to exhaustion. So when you do conscious breathing exercises, you can learn to contain your experience. So what do I mean by that? By the word emotion means energy and motion. And when we do conscious breath work, it is a very, very effective way to move the energy of the negative emotions, the grief, the sadness, the anger, the anxiety, the depression. You can move this energy in a very effective, very powerful way without having to talk about it. Although talking about it is quite helpful, another way of dealing with it is simply breathing through that. And when you contain your experience, what I mean by that, before you start your breathing, you set your intention. So I may say, you know, I'm going to do conscious breath work for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever amount of time that you want. Or you visualize a container. And I can remember years ago, I taught breath work to a group of recovering drug addicts. And so these were people who had tremendous courage. They'd gotten off very dangerous street drugs, and they were learning how to live their lives and to cope with the intensity of their emotions. So when you contain your experience, what I tell people to do is visualize a container. So your container could be a teacup, or it could be a huge dumpster, like, you know, people use to dump all their used garbage. And what you do as you breathe into the uncomfortable feelings. You visualize those uncomfortable feelings going into the container. And when the container feels full, you visualize yourself getting rid of the container. So, again, the reason that I feel that so many people are turning to drugs, legal or illegal, is because they're afraid of the emotions that are way down deep. But when you contain your experience, you allow yourself to release these feelings in a controlled way, and it feels safer. You don't feel like you're going to be overrun or overcome by the intensity of the emotion. And you can begin to move some of this energy and process it through. And again, it's all free and it's available to you anytime, anywhere. And the ninth principle of enlightened breath work is to release. So whenever you exhale, you're letting go. And again, what are you letting go of? You're letting go of suffering, pain, low self-esteem, anything that no longer serves you, trauma, PTSD. I've worked with a lot of veterans and people who've, you know, really done a wonderful service to our country at great personal cost. Cellular waste, carbon dioxide, toxicity, everything that holds you back, rules that don't work for you, the past. So as you exhale, you want to constantly, consciously let go of all this. And the last principle of enlightened breath work is when you breathe very consciously, you can shift your vibration out of this pain and suffering and move into this very, very blissful state. And many people are surprised how calm they can feel, how peaceful they can feel. But above the calm and peace is this deep bliss that they can experience all the way down to the soul level. And those are the 10 principles of enlightened breath work.
Oh, that's great. I want to just kind of make a comment about a couple of them. First of all, the third one, breathing in a circle, how you talked about having a, you know, that natural break between the inhale and exhale. A couple times when I've, you know, read about meditation, that kind of thing, they tell you to breathe in, like the count of three, hold for three, and then breathe out. But when you were talking about it, you basically indicated the equal duration of those breaks, you know, is important. So is you know, because I know that when I've practiced, you know, that holding of the breath for 3 seconds at each of the breaks, it was just very uncomfortable, you know, for me. So, you know, does it,
well, that's a great,
is that something
comment.
That's important?
Well, first of all, none of the breathing exercises that I teach in the Little Book of Breath Work require you to hold your breath. And when I say breathe in a circle, and that's a great question, Robert Sharp, is that you will notice that if you pay attention to your natural breathing, that there's simply a pause. And although there are indeed exercises, breathing exercises that require you to hold your breath, that's not how I do it. I teach 8 different breathing exercises in the Little Book of Breath Work, and none of them require you to hold your breath. What happens when we do hold our breath, you ignite the fight, flight, or freeze reflexes. So I'm not a big fan of holding your breath, because then your mind-body system thinks, oh, my God, I'm about to die, right? And you just can't wait to take a breath. So, I'm not in favor of that. But, again, there's a little bit of a pause. So you inhale, there's a little bit of pause. There's exhale, there's a little bit of pause. And by breathing in a circle, if you just make a conscious intention of inhaling and exhaling at equal length, again, you balance the two sides of your nervous system, and you really start to feel happy.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I'm glad to hear that, because, you know, again, for me, that was very, it was uncomfortable. It just didn't feel right, you know, and the idea of recognizing, just being aware of those natural breaks in our breathing processes, to me, it makes sense, you know, and then you basically support your natural flow of breathing.
Yes, absolutely. So again, don't hold your breath. It's not a good idea. You're just going to incite a panic attack of some degree.
Yeah, I agree. Great. Good to get that clarified. And then the fifth one that you had in the process was energize. Is these exercises, you know, a lot of people have difficulty maintaining an energy level throughout the day, you know, and so are these exercises good for boosting, you know, that energy level?
Yes. And energy is such a big topic that one of my 9 books is called Unlimited Energy Now. And Unlimited Energy Now, my book, which is available ebook, paperback, audiobook, I wrote it for people who are exhausted. And it goes over everything that you can do on all 5 levels of your being, physically, energetically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, to rebuild your adrenal function. So we live in an age of burnout. Most people by the age of, you know, by early 40s, most people are totally burned out. I happen to be 60 years old. I have more energy than most people I know. I got up this morning, taught yoga, started working, and here we are. So, again, let's talk about energy and how it relates to your metabolism. When you are constantly stressed, you're running on adrenaline and cortisol, which are your 2 main stress hormones. And initially, when you run on adrenaline, you feel a little bit high, feels a little bit good. But when you go on for years and years like this, you literally burn out your adrenal glands. And when you go into total adrenal burnout, these are the people, it's like, I've had clients say to me, Catherine, on a good day, I get out of bed and brush my teeth. I'm an expert at helping people recover from adrenal burnout. And one of the simple things that you can do to improve your energy is simply by learning how to breathe properly. Because, and the reason that's so important is when you learn how to breathe properly, you turn off the stress hormones that have made you exhausted. Does that make sense?
It does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much. Okay. Now, one of the things, you know, we were talking about the breathing and the hand mudras.
Yes.
Do, in your practice of breathing, is there a place for affirmations to accompany the mudras in the breathing?
Yes. So, again, going to the big picture, many of us, myself included, are so mentally active that we have trouble turning off our mind. But if you use affirmations, and another word for it is a mantra, if you use a positive statement and positive or positive statements plural, you give your mind something to do. So you're giving your mind something to focus on, and by giving your mind something positive to focus on, you're shifting your mental emotional state. We have to realize that every thought that you think creates chemistry in your body. So if I'm sitting there all day and I think I'm worthless, life sucks, this is difficult, I'll never get anywhere, you're literally lowering and depleting your brain chemistry. And also, by the way, if you're constantly running on cortisol and adrenaline, you're burning through all your neurotransmitters. So you're depleting your brain chemistry. So, however, when I affirm, you know, I radiate energy and lift everyone around me, I energize my mind and body and enjoy the way I feel. When you're repeating positive affirmations while breathing and holding the mudras, again, you're consciously shifting your vibration. You're moving your whole mind, body, spirit into a state of unconditional love, peace, and gratitude. And you're shifting your whole body chemistry and shifting your energy so that you can be a light worker, a light giver, and, you know, be a force for positive change in the world, which most of us want to do.
Yeah, okay, that's great. I know for me, I have a CD of, it's called Vibrational Healing. It's just like chakra tones. And I know when I, you know, have sleepless nights or nights there where that monkey mind is kind of keeping me awake, I just turn that on and it's just a series of tones, you know, that, and I just put my attention toward the tones, you know, so it's kind of like, you know, the tones and the thoughts can't occupy the same space. There's only so much space there. So once I do that, then I find myself able to fall asleep much quicker, as far as clearing that mind.
Yes, that's wonderful. And again, I love that. I love that you're using music to, because we go into resonance with the, you know, the sound around us. And so, again, whether you're using music or affirmations, you're shifting your whole mind, body, and spirit so you can get out of the stress.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, in today's society, we're the immediate gratification, you know, we kind of go on Facebook and post something and get an instant reaction, or on Instagram. I would think that by employing these breathing exercises or breathing principles or practices, that we would get that quick gratification, correct?
Yes. And that is why I put together this breathwork routine called 8 Minutes to Inner Peace. What I find, I work with lots of clients with depression, anxiety, and panic attacks, like we mentioned. And typically, if you're even in a state of extreme anxiety, if you do this breathing routine, you can usually cut your anxiety by about 50% at least in 8 minutes, even a really severe panic attack. And, you know, even if you take a pill, it's going to take longer than that usually, right?
And, exactly.
Right? And, you know, part of why I am doing this again is to empower people, because when we have these really intense emotions, which we sometimes feel as human beings that are unfortunately part of life, when you learn these tools, then you no longer feel the victim of your intense emotions. You have power over the way you feel. Because when this stuff comes up, you'll go, well, I know what to do. So let's move the energy. I can handle this, right? And when you know that you have the power to make yourself feel better, you feel better about yourself, you feel stronger, you feel better able to cope, and you are better able to cope because you're able to shift back into a rational, calm state of mind where you can deal with what life has presented to you.
Absolutely. Well, Catherine, we've actually blown through the whole hour here. So this has really been a great conversation. So now if people wanted to get a hold of you, what are some of the best ways that that can happen?
So you can reach me through my website, KatherineKurigan.com, or UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. You're welcome to text me at 678-612-8816. I'm a medical intuitive healer. I work with people all over the world by phone, Skype, and Zoom video conference. And basically what my life work is about is empowering people, empowering you so that you learn how to help yourself naturally. My father is a doctor, brother, uncle, grandfather, great grandfather. I come from this family of medical doctors, and we have great respect for the medical profession. But what I'm here to do is to teach you what's really going on with your mind, body, and soul, and how you can empower yourself to feel better naturally.
That's perfect. Well, I want to thank you for your time today, Catherine. I really enjoyed our talk, and you know, that alternating nostril technique was something I hope the listeners will go ahead and give it a try, and they can also pick up your book and get more detailed information. So thank you very much for your time.
Thanks so much, everybody out there, for listening, and remember that your breath is your power.
All right. Thank you again, everyone. Today, my very special guest has been Catherine Kurigan. We've been talking about her new book, The Little Book of Breathwork. And again, she can be reached. You can find out more by visiting her website, which is KatherineKurigan.com. And also you can visit UnlimitedEnergyNow.com, which is her other book, one of her other books. And then again, if you want to find out more about the 8 Minutes to Inner Peace, you can visit that website, www.8minutestoinnerpeace, and 8 is number 8, minutestoinnerpeace.com. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show, and until we meet again, thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Remember, our show is available as a free podcast from Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. To follow our show, visit our homepage at biteradio.me and select the platform you use most. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at biteradio.me. Until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch. Thank you.